Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Trenchless Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenchless Technology Magazine. Today on the podcast, we are continuing to focus on the COVID-19 health crisis and its impact on the trenchless industry. The staff at Trenchless Technology continues to send out good vibes and good health to the trenchless community as we continue to bring you the trenchless news through all of this. Today on the podcast, my guest is Vermeer CEO Jason Andringa. Jason will be filling us in on how COVID-19 is impacting his company and will also be offering perspective on the market overall. Vermeer is also helping out during this global crisis by lending hands to produce face masks for the healthcare industry, and we'll get to all that shortly. I first want to thank you for joining us on the podcast today. I can only imagine how busy these last few weeks have been. So first off, how are you and your family doing? I know personally I'm a little stir crazy at this point.
Personally, and my family, we're doing fine. I think it, probably a lot of people feel as though, this is an unprecedented time. This is different than anything we've ever done in our personal lives. My wife is at home with three kids, and I definitely think at times she wishes she and the kids could do something else. The school that my kids go to is doing a great job of pushing content to them. So they're still learning and tremendous opportunity for underground infrastructure. They're using bandwidth to continue their education. So I think they're making the best of it. And yeah, for myself personally, it's an unprecedented time, but just doing the best we can to continue to build equipment that our customers depend on.
Well, that leads right into how has the COVID-19 impacted operations at Vermeer? In Ohio, we've been under lockdown since about mid-March, working out of our homes and such. So what's the situation over there in Pella?
Those people who can do their jobs just as effectively from home as they can at work are working remotely. They're working at home. And yet another example of, we basically accomplished that in the span of about a day, where IT was able to help our team members, other people at Vermeer were able to help team members get whatever they needed, their computer, whatever files they needed, et cetera, offsite and to their homes. People have even gone so far as to check out their office chairs because they found that their chairs at home, were not comfortable for an entire day of working. And so we've even checked out people's office chairs so that they can work effectively from home. So those are the jobs that, can be done effectively from home. And then, of course, for a lot of people, specifically our production people, of course, the people that are, actually building the yellow iron that our customers depend upon, we're doing everything possible to follow the regulations and the guidelines and the suggestions that are out there at the state level, the federal level, the CDC, the WHO. And, thankfully, not only are we in a state which has not been hit as hard as many states, but we also are designated as an essential industry in the state of Iowa. So even though the office feels pretty abandoned, when I walk through the plants, I see our team hard at work continuing to build the equipment that our customers depend upon.
I like the chair idea. I'm going to have to talk to my boss about that. But they can ship my chair here into Youngstown. From your perspective as the head of a leading trenchless company, how has COVID-19 impacted the trenchless market in your view?
In the near term, it has affected our demand. Our demand is down a little bit. Our demand is not down catastrophically as we've seen in some industries, but our demand is down a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, in the long term, I'm very optimistic about how Vermeer, particularly, but the trenchless industry in general is going to bounce back once we either get past the coronavirus or once the world kind of settles into a new way of working that's sustainable. I mentioned it before. There has been just a tremendous new way of working and going to school that involves Wi-Fi. And it involves fiber optic, and it involves underground infrastructure. So I think in the long run, there's going to be tremendous opportunity for trenchless technology to continue and maybe at a more rapid rate install the infrastructure that our society and our world involves.
Vermeer also does more than the trenchless industry. You're also involved in agriculture and landscaping. What is your view on how that's impacted manufacturing overall in the United States?
So in general, our underground construction side of our business, our trenchless side of the business, is frankly holding up a bit better than the other parts of our business. So, you know, definitely the landscaping side has softened a bit more, and some of the other end markets that we serve have softened a bit, you know, more than the trenchless side of the business. But at the same time, customers continue to buy. You know, frankly, our parts business is only down like 10%, 10 to 15%. So that indicates that even though there's a little bit of slowing that's out there, the vast majority of our customers are working and they're buying parts and they're fixing their machines. And so, you know, in general, we continue to be confident that our customers are out on their job sites using Vermeer equipment to get their jobs done.
Now, you noted earlier that Iowa had designated water and wastewater as essential business, and the EPA and Homeland Security came out very early with that same designation.
Yes.
That we are critical infrastructure. What are your thoughts on that, and how important was that designation in your mind?
That's incredibly important. And in fact, there are six end markets, including telecommunications and water and wastewater, that Vermeer serves that have been designated as being essential. So really, those six designations cover the entire spectrum of the Vermeer business. So, you know, we're very grateful for that. Frankly, we've been given notice by our suppliers over the last month at different times that they're going to be shutting down. And, you know, we send them a letter that we have been designated as an essential industry serving essential markets. And we consider them to be essential, and they have been able to use that to stay open. So, you know, that designation as being essential has been very important for us.
Vermeer has operations in China, a HD company in China, which was obviously hit very hard with COVID-19. It originated in China.
Yep.
What insight did you gather from that experience to help maybe prepare you for what's been happening in the United States now? I mean, how did that offer any insight?
You know, it's interesting because definitely China was hit first, but I'm not sure China has been hit as hard now as what the U.S. has. You know, I think the official numbers would indicate there have been more cases in the U.S. now. You know, we did learn a lot from that situation. You know, frankly, our factory in China is about 800 miles from Wuhan, and most of COVID-19 was contained around the Wuhan area in that relatively local area. So, you know, to this day, we have not had any Vermeer team members that have contracted COVID-19 in China. And, you know, in China, our plant was shut down by the government for a period of time. But we took that time to really get our ducks in a row and, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's. And we had everything in place. And we were one of the first companies, the first manufacturing companies in the region that we're located in, to be permitted to reopen. And so we've actually been open now in China for almost 2 months, I believe. Hmm. We were one of the very first to reopen. But, you know, some of the things that we learned there, we have definitely implemented here. And, you know, we do temperature checks at the door when people arrive for work each day. We implemented that first in China. You know, in China, our team was required to wear face masks. At Vermeer, it's recommended, but not required. But yet Vermeer has face masks available to anybody that chooses to wear one. So, you know, definitely some of the things that we learned in China, we are now implementing here.
Now, like many companies around the country that are kind of repurposing their facilities a little bit to help out with this crisis, whether it's making hand sanitizer for the local communities they're in or various medical equipment, like ventilator parts and such. Vermeer's working with a company with RP America to produce much needed face masks for the healthcare industry. How did this partnership come about, and what specifically is Vermeer's role in making and producing the shields, face shields?
You bet. It's a cool story. The our local regional hospital reached out to us and other local organizations and manufacturers in the Pella area. We have a series of 3D printers at Vermeer. We've ramped up the number of 3D printers that we have for a variety of different reasons at Vermeer. So we developed a design of something that we could 3D print and, you know, brought it to the hospital, and they were happy with what we came up with. And, you know, we've continued to refine it and also develop, new applications as well. And so, you know, for the most part, what we typically use our 3D printers for, they are not nearly as busy as what they normally are. So, you know, we've been able to, use them to print out these masks, and other people locally who have access to 3D printers or own 3D printers are doing the same thing. And RP America, that is their business. It's a local area business, and Vermeer has ties to them. They are doing the same thing. They're printing out these masks as well. So, not only that, but the supply chain we have for personal protective equipment from China, once again, leveraging our connection with China, we've been able to import, an incredible amount of personal protective equipment, which is sufficient for Vermeer. And we've been able to import enough that we're able to donate some of that as well. So it's been gratifying to have an opportunity to be part of the solution. And of course, that's what manufacturers do, is look for opportunities and try to provide a solution. So fun to be able to do that, and gratifying to be able to do that.
Well, what was the reaction, I guess, from the Vermeer workforce in shifting gears, so to speak, into what they're making? I mean, what was their reaction to be able to help out?
Definitely positive. It's not as though the majority of our business was using the 3D printers. You know, the 3D printers were used for, you know, very niche applications. And so it's, you know, it really hasn't, slowed down the ability to manufacture our, you know, primarily metal based machinery. The team members are obviously very, very proud and happy that Vermeer can repurpose, some of the tools that we have to help in this crisis.
It's definitely a cool story. I mean, there's so many times you feel helpless in some of these situations, and this gives you a chance to do your part, I guess, as to feel like you're part, like you said, part of the solution.
Yeah, you bet. Definitely.
As COVID-19 was kind of unfolding in the United States, it was just as trade show season was getting underway. That's the primary marketing tool component for companies to get new products out in front of their customers. I mean, we basically had ConExpo, and that was it so far this year. How has the loss of trade shows so early in the year changed how maybe Vermeer is getting its message out about the new equipment it has and technology? How is it getting it in front of the customers now? How has it changed how you do it?
Yeah, it was the week of ConExpo that, you know, really COVID-19 went from being a threat to a very real immediate change to the way that we work. We had a customer reception at ConExpo the night that, European travel was shut down, and the night the NBA stopped playing games and Major League Baseball stopped playing games. And so, that was kind of the last travel for many of us at Vermeer before, you know, we kind of more or less sheltered in place in Pella and wherever we're working within Vermeer. It's one of my colleagues has said several times that, you know, the world has changed a decade in the last month. And that's how it feels like it has been. Instead of doing the trade show rounds, you know, we're now using Zoom to communicate with customers and WebEx. And, you know, a month ago, I didn't even know what Zoom is. And now my eighth grade daughter has spent, you know, hours and hours and hours both socializing on Zoom and also, you know, doing her schoolwork on Zoom. So, you know, we're just doing the best we can. the phone is, you know, back in style. You know, people will pick up the phone if you call them these days. So, you know, just trying to figure out how to continue to stay close to our customers and close to our dealers during this time. It's an opportunity, to be honest. You know, I don't think the world is going to be returning to normal, what we used to think of as normal, anytime soon. So we're going to have to figure out how to do it a new way, for the near term for sure, and maybe for the longer term.
Finally, the last time we spoke, I was actually visiting Vermeer, the Vermeer campus. It was shortly after the tornado came through Pella, and you had been giving tours to the media of assessing the showing us the damage to the campus and such, and you gave us an update on the recovery and construction. Can you give us an update on how that's going? I know probably this time has put a halt to maybe some of that, but even before COVID-19, where does the construction stand?
Really, COVID-19 is not slowing down our Pella-based rebuild at all. So the two factories that were completely destroyed here in Pella, you know, we leveled those factories and we're building one big factory where those two previous facilities used to stand. And, you know, that's one of the first things I said when COVID-19 kind of changed the world for everybody was, you know, we remain committed to completing what we call Plant 7. It's going to be connected to what we used to call Plant 7, and it's going to be one big facility. And, you know, I am confident enough in the markets we serve and in the amount of work that our customers are going to have going forward that, you know, I am very confident that having that production facility online is in Vermeer's best interest. So we have not slowed that down at all. And that plant will be in production this fall as it has been scheduled for quite a while now. So. Yeah, you know, it's as of this summer, it's going to be 2 years since the tornado. And we've come a long way since then. I'm incredibly proud of how this company has reacted over the last 2 years to that crisis and the rebuild. We definitely are coming back better and stronger than ever before because of it.
How's the engineering building coming? Is that finished?
Finished, you bet. We finished that last summer. And I have been in that building many, many times, and I just love going in that building because that's where we build the new prototypes, and that's where we do custom work on machines. And so, you know, that's where our latest and greatest inventions are being built. So that facility is awesome. And actually, we are right on the cusp of also doing the grand opening of our new Eco Center. The Eco Center was the first building that I personally saw after the tornado that was completely destroyed. Our previous Eco Center was just converted into a pile of rubble. And so, you know, in addition to building the new engineering building, which we call Shop 48, not long after that, we also started building our new Eco Center. And it's a tremendous facility. And you know, we're going to be very pleased to have that in operation. And we're real close to having that in operation as well. So the final piece is what we call Plant 7, and that's going to be finished as of this fall. So by Christmas time, the rebuild at Intella will be complete.
Excellent. I don't know if you want to offer any final thoughts out there to those out listening about what's going on in this world, crazy world we have right now.
I think the most important thing is just for, you know, those that are involved in using trenchless technology to install underground infrastructure, we are doing important work. The world has shown very clearly in the past few months that the ability to have access to broadband at home, at work, wherever you are, is incredibly important to, you know, all the underground infrastructure, all the different markets that we serve, you know, underground electric, water and sewer, telecommunications, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is all very, very important to the world that we live in. And so, no matter what is happening, you know, we'll get through it. And the work that this industry does is very important.
Okay, well, that wraps up another Trenches Technology podcast. I want to thank Jason and Dringa for joining us today. And until next time, everyone, stay safe and be well.